hear it all the time. You're like, fear, fear, right. fear, fear. What does that mean for people? How does it manifest in myself when the fear comes up?
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 71. I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming Mary Sheen to the show today. She is an award-winning communicator and the founder of Magnetic Podium, an organization that helps people find their unique voice and communicate with impact, and she's based right here in Boston, Mass. Mary began her career in software development and later discovered she had a passion for training and motivational speaking. During her 15 plus years of experience training and speaking to over 15,000 people from more than 25 cities in multiple countries, Mary has learned one important thing. To communicate and persuade effectively, the first person you need to convince is yourself. Guided by this principle, Mary has devised tools and techniques to help you communicate and influence with impact. Mary, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. So Mary, before we jump into the actual entrepreneurial journey, we kind of want to rewind the clock a little bit and have you tell us a story about where your mindset was and what you thought life would be like long before you became an entrepreneur. Maybe go back to your teenage years and tell us a story of what you thought life would be like.
Wow, going all the way back in those years. That's a great question. Well, I can tell you that what I'm doing now would definitely not be in my mind view back then. I can start you off back in college, for example. I had studied computing science, that was my undergrad, and started working in the IT field as a computer programmer of all things, and was very, very self-conscious as a person speaking in front of a group. And that's one of the reasons that I ended up working in this field and trying to get better at what I'm doing, which is speaking in front of a group, because I did not start out that way. And it's difficult to go back all the way back to, what did you say, teenage years? Because I think like many of us, back when we were in teenage years, we may not have such a long view of life as to what we want to do. But all I knew was that I enjoyed inspiring people, but obviously I didn't know how to do that. I just knew that I myself enjoyed being inspired by people who have achieved things in life, especially the stories that I hear where people came from almost nothing and then made something of themselves and inspiring others to do the same. So I knew that going into college, that was my mindset. But what I found myself doing was what I thought I would enjoy, which is more the technical aspect of computer programming and being mathematically minded and being, I think, heavily influenced by my parents. It's probably not obvious by my accent because I'm from Australia, but my background is that I am Chinese, and it's not obvious when I speak, but I am Chinese, and I do have parents who are from Chinese background. So for your listeners who are from a non-English speaking background, from parents who are immigrants, you probably know that the tradition of how I was raised was study hard, get a good job, and you'll be right. That'll be the end of the story. Continue doing that. And so that's what I did. I was a obedient child, and I listened to my parents. I knew I needed a good education to begin with. Right. So the entrepreneurial path and writing a book, all of that was definitely not on my mind as a person growing up in that background. It was more of a discovery process of how I ended up where I am and just following what I loved. And at each point in my life when something didn't work anymore, or, oh, I'm not so much enjoying this anymore, it's not really taking me where I want to go or where I see myself going, and then having the conscious mindset to make a shift and then create the actions in my life to move that shift into reality, if that makes sense.
Totally. No, it totally does. I love how you started off in an area that was completely unrelated to public speaking. And that's kind of why I like bringing out that backstory. And that's why that first question of the show is what it is, because I love hearing the difference where someone thought they were going to be and what they thought their career would look like to where they are today. And you may follow that degree or that career path for a decade or two and then completely change your idea altogether. And I love how you made, you know, a complete pivot from computer programming to public speaking and becoming an entrepreneur and becoming an author. I'd love to know, while you were dealing with your own nerves and your own hesitation, what was it that drove you to begin branding yourself? What were those first steps that you took that kind of launched you in the direction of, okay, maybe I should remove myself from where I am today? How did you get to that mindset and thought process of making those first steps?
Great question. I think that one of the things I'd want to highlight for your listeners is, for me, it wasn't a big bang shift. It wasn't like, oh, I'm doing computing science and programming one day, and the next day or by tomorrow I'm going to be a professional speaker. It didn't work out. It didn't work like that at all. For me, it was baby steps. And right. In fact, when I started learning public speaking and learning to be a good speaker, I didn't even have in my mind that I was one day going to be a professional speaker, professional trainer, and author. That wasn't even on my mind. I just took steps towards my own growth. And while I was in my full-time job, so I started joining an organization called Toastmasters International, which you may have heard of. It's a non-profit organization where you go and learn to speak. And to be honest with you, Laurie, my initial goal was I want to be able to speak without in public, in front of a group of people, without feeling self-conscious. That was my only goal, right? And to be, I mean, I'll give you an example. I was one of those people that if I had a work meeting in the afternoon and I knew there was a chance I'd be called upon in that meeting, my whole morning was ruined because I would be stressed out about what if I was called to speak and stumbled with my words and more importantly, embarrassed myself in front of my coworkers. That, right. You know, that's where I started from. So I was certainly not someone who was born with the skill or was, you know, very articulate, naturally articulate. As you know, the first 7 years of my life, I actually spoke Chinese because I was born in Hong Kong, and then my family immigrated to Australia where I shifted languages and learned the whole new language. Right. So I was not naturally articulate to begin with, and so that was always conscious in my mind and being self-conscious about the way I would articulate, the way I would sound, and what if they ask me a question that I don't know, and what if when I answered it, I sound stupid. That's what I mean by self-consciousness, and we can expand a lot more about that. But that's where I began. So it wasn't like something that I planned out from the beginning. And then as I took steps to improve as a speaker and found mentors in my life, I'm one of those people who I'm very, very encouraging of myself to learn from others. Mm-hmm. I have no qualms about, no, I have to do this all myself. If someone has an ability that they've worked on and they're willing to teach me or I'm willing to learn from them, then I'm going to take that shortcut and say, you know what, I'm going to take that leap and learn with this person so that I can shortcut my own path. Why not take that exponential growth when it's there as opposed to trying to do everything myself? And so I learned from the best in the world. I learned from these mentors who were the past winners of a contest called the World Championship of Public Speaking. Most people, when I tell them this, they've never even heard of this contest. Most people haven't. But the people in the public speaking world have heard of it, and it's an annual contest where between 25,000 and 35,000 contestants from around the world, from 14-plus countries, entered this contest. So these people I had learned from had won these contests. So, and they would say to me, Mary, it's not about getting up and speaking and then making a fool of yourself. It's not about that. That may happen and probably does happen, right, when you start out. It certainly happened with me a lot. They said, it's about having that happen and then having the courage to come back the next day. That's what it was about. So I listened to these mentors, and like yourself, I'm a very good student, right? I'm very proud of the fact that I'm a very good student. What I learn, I apply in my life, because I understand that if I'm not applying it in my life, we were just talking about this just before we hopped on the interview, if I'm not applying it in my life, then it just becomes theoretical knowledge and I'm not using it to benefit myself in any way, right? So I would apply what they told me, and I would speak and I would speak, and slowly by slowly my confidence started to increase. And my whole goal was, you know what, I just want to be on in front of a group of people and be able to speak and just be comfortable in my own skin. That was my goal, right? And so over the years, as that started to happen, and I was able to articulate myself more as myself, you know, more conversational, and then working on my craft, and then going through that journey of becoming a better speaker, I started to notice that there is a parallel path to becoming a better speaker, and that was becoming a better myself, if that makes sense. So what I mean by that, which is actually what the topic of my book ended up being about, is there's noticing that I am the biggest obstacle in my own way. And now, having trained thousands of students and coached hundreds of people, I started noticing that there was a pattern with us as human beings, and that is that we let fear get in our way. And when that happens and we don't take the actions to do what we want because of fear, then we need to look at that more closely. We need to address that more closely. And so that's what my journey has been like. And then as I got more confident as a speaker, I realized that what I was finding out about this process of becoming a better speaker, getting over yourself and learning how to get over your own fears, that wasn't taught as something as common within public speaking education in itself, right? I mean, what I mean by that is, for example, I mentioned the Toastmasters, right? That's a great place for you to practice in front of. There's eyes for you to practice in front of. But even in the education that I would invest in to learn about public speaking, it was focused more on the mechanics of the craft. So, you know, how do you stand? How do you use your voice, vocal variety? How do you tell engaging stories? All of that is important. But nobody was talking about the biggest obstacle that was getting in everyone's way when they're nervous or when they're outside their comfort zone, which is, how do you deal with your own inner critic? How do you deal with your own self-consciousness and the self-talk that goes on that might stop you from making progress, not just in public speaking and in your own growth in itself and in life, right? Nobody was addressing that. So I felt it more important to address that component and what are the processes that I used in my own life to get over my own self-consciousness around public speaking and in general, the fears in general, and feeling the need to share that message and feeling the need to spread that message so that more people can use and learn and use these tools that I invented for myself, so that I could continually step outside of my own comfort zone and not let the fears stop me. So it was more to a very, very long-winded answer to your question. It was more from the trajectory of how I became, you know, how I came from a computer programming background to what I do now is it's just feeling the need and the passion around sharing what I've learned with others so that it benefits them in their life. That's where the drive comes from. And then so that taking myself on that path of the being an entrepreneur and being an author and spreading that message has become my new mission, because I know that that's a way of reaching more people.
I love how you explain those steps. Because of a need that you had, you were extremely nervous when you were going to meetings, and the only thing that you were searching for was to solve your own need so that you could be comfortable when speaking in public. That's what drove you to take that next step to join Toastmasters International, to then gain the confidence in yourself to find the mentors to work with you, to take the knowledge that you gained from your mentors, apply it, and to go even further to recognize that, you know what? I've applied this knowledge. I'm moving forward with my own public speaking, but why is nobody addressing an alternate need and niche that you then found through looking at something that you wanted to solve? And that turned into the fact that nobody was really taking care of the confidence piece and the recognition of so many struggling with that inner voice. And it turned it into a passion for you to help others solve that problem. And I think your explanation of the progression of how that came about was excellent. It's a pivot. It's not a straight path. You don't jump onto an entrepreneurial journey at all times with a goal at the end that you're just shooting for. Some people do that and that's excellent, but there are a number of entrepreneurs that I have personally spoken with and interviewed at this point, as well as millions across the globe, whose journey does not look anything like a straight path. It varies. It deviates, and the differences come from the different aspects of things that you're attempting to accomplish. Mary, what do you feel was one of the most difficult pieces for you as you began taking on the journey as an entrepreneur? Once you decided, okay, you know what, this is a need that I really do need to help others solve, I have to help them recognize how to make their inner critic shut up. What did you find to be the biggest hurdle for you in making that pivot in your journey?
I think the biggest hurdle is, and I think people can relate to this, is fear.
Yeah.
Okay. And yep. So I want to make it clear. I mean, you heard my journey, and now you know where I am. I've published this book, and I have, I hold boot camps where people come and learn this material. The book is great in itself, but then being able to guide people through it live and through in person through training programs, which is what I am, that's now my profession, is to train people in this kind of work, in how to get over their own fears, not just around public speaking, even though it looks like that, but it's the space that it opens up once you learn the process of handling your own fears and managing it and not letting it stop you. Even though that is what I do, I want to be clear that I am not exempt from fear. I am not exempt from when I step outside my own comfort zone continuously, that the fears are going to come up again. So every time this change, i.e. going from, for example, going from an employee to my own path of being an entrepreneur, or even as launching my own book, for example, there was fear around that because it's something I'd never done before, right? So overcoming that, and the processes of overcoming the internal fears of what may happen, fear is like such a big umbrella, right? You hear it all the time. You're like, fear. But when we really break it down and say, practically speaking, what does that mean? What does that mean for people? How does it manifest in myself when the fear comes up? Well, a very obvious way of noticing the fear that comes up is paying attention to your own internal dialogue. Right. Yeah. So fear, for example, might sound like, and in this specific question you're asking, going from changing from one profession to another, such as an entrepreneur's path, the fear in your own head might sound like, well, what if I fail? What if I try this and it doesn't work? What if I publish a book and no one reads it? Everyone's going to know that I suck. Everyone's going to know that, you know, like all of that garbage that goes on. What if? And I talk about this in detail in my book and in my boot camps, but it basically comes from the same area that we all have in our brains, which is the part of our brain that tries to protect us from harm, right? And it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have fear, or that, oh, I wish we didn't have fear. It's there for a purpose. And that's what the message I'm trying to convey here is, the fear is there for a purpose, and it's for the purpose of trying to protect us trying to avoid perceived harm. What if I do fail? So it's not just physical pain or physical survival. It's also perceived pain, perceived pain of failure, of embarrassment, of doing something and it's not going to work out. So that is always going to be in our way whenever we attempt to change anything in our lives, whenever we try to step outside our comfort zone, whether it's speaking in front of a group that you're not used to, or shifting your career to be an entrepreneur, which is not really a defined path, right? Which is why it's scary. I mean, think about this. All our lives, most of us, we hear the same story, which is, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, right? That's pretty much what's been conditioned in our head. So anything outside of that known path is going to be scary, because there are a lot of unknown variables and a lot of problems that come out, and you have to be able to solve those problems, right? And these the anticipation of the unknown and the uncertainty around all of this shift in change in ourselves is what's going to come up. So to answer your question, that has been the most challenging part, is to be very aware of that as it comes up, and then having the tools to know how to manage that, so that the fear, my own fear, my own internal dialogue that tries to stop me from growing because it tries to spare me from pain, and then being aware of that and then moving forward anyway, that has been the most difficult part.
I have had the opportunity to read your book, Present Yourself in Public Speaking, and we will be sure to put a link to that on the show notes page, because I'd like for the audience to have the ability and the access to the book. I think it has been very definitive in my journey to branch out into public speaking. Even though I do the podcast, guys, I too struggle with that fear. You know, Mary, you and I were touching base on that before we got on the call. Recording a podcast with someone is very different than live webinar or a live presentation in front of a group. And I have found that the tips, the tricks, and the tools that are included have been very instrumental in my own journey. So I look forward to making sure that that's available to the listeners. So, Mary, what do you feel was a lesson that may have surprised you during this journey? What do you feel like was something that you learned that you didn't even have a clue you were going to come across during your journey?
That's a great question. And I'm going to go back to the same answer, because it is actually the truth, is definitely that I didn't realize in following where my heart tells me to go, which is what I usually, the joy, like where the direction that I tend to gravitate towards is what brings me joy in my life, right? And being very honest with myself to say, okay, the path that I'm traveling right now is no longer bringing me the joy that it used to, for various reasons, and mostly probably because I've grown in a different direction, or what used to bring me joy and happiness no longer does. Programming, I used to enjoy it, I used to like it, but what I started noticing was it wasn't bringing me joy, because what brought me joy was making a difference with people, you know, seeing their eyes light up and just being able to help people transform themselves the way I've helped myself transform, right? And then bringing that message across and then taking notice of that, and then most importantly, doing something about it. Right. So moving away from what I don't like anymore to what resonates with my heart and my inner calling, so to speak. Right. Because sometimes we hear that we kind of know that what we're doing doesn't work for us anymore. But then it takes a little while for us to sort of admit that to ourselves. And then more importantly, taking the concrete steps to make a change in our lives, right? And as we mentioned earlier, as you were mentioning about baby steps, right? It's all about the baby steps, baby steps. But what I was surprised, and actually in hindsight, I shouldn't be surprised, is how stubborn I was internally about making that change. It was like knowing that in theory, yeah, I need to get away from this. Yeah, this is no longer bringing me joy. And then to the point where I actually make changes, even if they are baby step changes, to finally admit to myself, you know, I need to make these changes. So the length of time that it took for me to finally decide, okay, because it's based on a decision. And when I say decide, I mean it with a capital D, right? I've decided this is what I'm doing, right?
Yes.
Until I got to that point where I totally am going to shift and know that I'm 100% certain I'm going to shift, it's no longer a question. It's just a matter of stepping into that. The internal kicking and digging my heels in, so to speak, before I made that decision, that capital D decision,
right,
is probably in hindsight what I, if I had to, you know, go back and tell myself to do, is just be like, don't be so stubborn, you know, just do it, you know you're gonna, so you may as well just do it now, you know, and then just having that internal voice to calm down much more quickly. But
right,
I do this like every other human being, you know, I'm not exempt from it. And what do? In that moment, I use the same tools as I always do. I walk my talk, get to that point where I make that decision. And usually when I get to the point that it becomes more painful to stay where I am than it is to make the decision to change, right? Then the pain that the changes are going to cause initially, right? So when that pain of staying is greater than the anticipated pain of moving, of changing, that's when the change happens. I talk about this in my book as well. But if I was to go back, I would, you know, definitely coach myself to make that time a smaller window rather than the longer window that it ended up taking. But I do subscribe to unfoldment and just allowing the self-discovery to take place and not to be too harsh on myself around that.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly that's what surprised me the most is how internally stubborn I was before I made that change.
I love that, Mary. I love your candidness on that. And I think it's, you know, it's something that we as entrepreneurs probably don't talk about as much as we should. I have yet to meet an entrepreneur who hasn't had to do some sort of self-reflection and wake-up moments on different areas of life, and taking ownership and application of baby step is very important. And that's funny that was one of the more surprising parts. I think it is something that surprises all of us, but it's very seldom discussed. What I'd love for you to do is tell us a little bit more about your book, Present Yourself in Public Speaking, and tell us who the book is really designed for. Is it designed for those that are becoming public speakers, or do you feel like there's a wider audience? I personally felt like there was a larger application.
Sure. So the title of the book is Present Yourself in Public Speaking, and the word present is in inverted commas. And the reason for that is it's a play on words. So the word present, meaning being present in front of a room, being here in the now, present as in presentations, and present as in it's a gift to the audience, right?
Yes.
So if you can be present, being in the here and the now with the audience while you're in presentation mode, then that in itself is a gift to your audience, right? So instead of focusing entirely on the content or that inner dialogue that goes on in your head to make yourself self-conscious in front of an audience, if that wasn't there, then what is possible, right? What connection can you have with the audience in that space? Because they're also giving you the gift of their time and their attention. How do you then make the most out of that? And the subtitle is Tell Your Inner Critic to Shut Up and the Real You to Speak Up. I think the subtitle kind of tells it in more detail as to what you can expect from the book. And it really is a book about the internal processes of how to get over your inner critic and to allow the authentic you, the person that's inside there who has a message, who has something from the heart that they want to share, who has a message that they know is that if given to the audience, it's going to make a difference for them. That is the person that I want to be in front of the room speaking, versus the inner critic, which in terms of internal dialogue might sound like, when you're in front of the room, it might sound like this: what are people going to think of me? How are people going to judge me? I hope I don't sound like an idiot. I hope what I'm saying makes sense. I hope I prepared enough. So all of that internal dialogue gets in the way between the speaker and the audience. And so the book is about how do you get rid of all that muck, all of that, the internal dialogue that goes on that becomes an invisible wall between you and the audience. Because if you're focusing on that internal dialogue, how on earth can you focus on the audience and benefiting them, right? So, and that is a journey. It doesn't come naturally for a lot of people, myself included. It did not come naturally to me. But the good news is that there are processes that I teach in the book where you can follow, as you were saying, you are one of my best students because you actually apply what's in the book in your life. And to see how you can not allow that inner critic, that internal negative dialogue, to get in the way of your actions. And to answer your question, it is actually applicable to not just public speaking, but to anyone who wants to grow beyond their own comfort zone. I mean, public speaking is an obvious front door because most people, when they get in front of the room and they're outside their comfort zone, they are going to experience that inner critic. They are going to experience that inner dialogue that gets in the way between them and connecting with the audience. Right. And so that is an obvious front door, but the tools that you learn and to apply to your life is going to be beneficial to you in all walks of life, such as what we were just talking about when you're shifting careers or when you're pivoting to, you know, from an employee mindset to an entrepreneurial mindset. That inner critic is going to come up, and it's the same inner critic because you are the common denominator of all of your experiences, whether you're public speaking or whether you're in another arena in your life where you're outside your comfort zone. That same inner critic, that little critter brain, is gonna come up. So the question then becomes, okay, now I know this there, what do I do about it, right? And that is what the book is about. It tells you, it goes through processes that I've developed that explained in there with many, many, many examples from my coaching clients as well as my training students. So you get to see a variety of real life examples of what people go through when they're trying to break outside their comfort zone in public speaking and even in general. So you get to realize, my whole goal of writing the book is for the person reading it to come to the conclusion, which is, oh, I'm normal. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Oh, I'm not the only one. Oh, there's something actually I can do about it. Right. Yes. And then be able to do that. I'll give you an example. I was speaking to a group of entrepreneurs recently. There were like 40 plus people in the audience. Afterwards, a young gentleman came up to me. He was maybe in his early 20s, and he said he's from teaches at a university, and he's on the entrepreneurial path. He said, thank you so much. That presentation, which was a presentation about the high level things of what I teach in the book, he said, that was so inspiring. Thank you. That made a difference for me. And when people tell me that, I'm of course extremely happy that that happened for them, but I always ask back, so what was the top takeaway for you, so that they can tell me, you know, what was it that made the difference from the 1 hour that I talked, right? And he said to me, that's a great question, let me think. He thought for a moment and then he replied, well, I now know that the inner critic and the real me are separate. I always thought that when that negative voice came up and I would hear it in my head, I always thought that was me. I always thought that that was the truth. Now I know that I can actually separate that and not listen to that. And let me tell you, Lori, as someone doing what I do for the purposes of what I do, I was ecstatic. I was like, yes! You know, that almost that brought me joy, but it was like almost tears of joy, because if you can get that from listening to what I said and reading my book, then that's it. That's the Holy Grail right there. If you can get that piece and take that forward in your life and move forward with your life, knowing that from now on, that's it. Definitely. That's perfect.
As a testament to the book itself, I think that is one of the resounding pieces that for me was huge. As mentioned, the tips and tactics that you share in the book, in applying those to assist with negating that little voice, it definitely has made a huge difference. So, audience, you will soon see a lot more live broadcasts. So, Mary, thank you. Thank you. You've been awesome, and we have enjoyed having you on the show. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. And Mary, you are our very first public speaker on the show. Yes, so, and of course, having helped me as much as you have, I can't wait for the opportunity to turn around and be able to help you. So, Mary, we'd love to know, if you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why? How do you feel it would affect not just you, but maybe the public speaking industry as a whole?
As you know, I'm very passionate about what I do and all of the things we've talked about and the message of the inner critic and how that affects us in public speaking and in life as well. That is my passion, that I'm out to spread that message. So if I had a magic wand, I would just let this message go viral as much as possible so that as many people can hear it, as many people can experience the effects of the separating the inner critic and knowing how to handle it so that it doesn't stop their authentic self from coming through and doing what their own inner calling is asking them to do. That is what I'd love helping, is to just spread this message and let it go far and wide as much as possible.
Well, listeners, definitely be sure to retweet and reshare and make sure that you guys help us get this message out there, because I think it is an important one. There are many, many people across the globe struggling with their inner critic that doesn't shut up. We need to get that link up so that everybody else can figure it out, you know, with the use of the book and your assistance. Mary, you've been outstanding. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Sure. So my website is magneticpodium.com, all one word, magneticpodium.com. When you first go to the website, there is a opt-in page where you can put in your name and email address, and you will receive a short report, top three tips or top three misconceptions around public speaking. So you'll get that PDF for free. So please sign up for that. And also, I obviously have my book, as we've spoken about. You can get that on Amazon. You can look up my last name, which is C-H-E-Y-N-E, Mary Sheen. Mary is M-A-R-Y, last name C-H-E-Y-N-E, and you'll see that book pop up. Within 2 weeks, it became Amazon bestseller, and one of the best things I loved about reading the reviews is someone said, alas, this is the pink elephant in the room that nobody addresses in public speaking, which is exactly how I feel around it. So certainly download the book or buy the paperback of the book from Amazon and use those tools within your life and share it with others. I also have a bunch of other options that I have that people can find me and work with me around. I have live boot camps. I have private coaching. And if you already know that you are a serious student and you'd like to find out more and have a conversation with me, you can book a free 15-minute conversation with me to see how I might be able to help you and learn more about your goals in public speaking and in general. And for that, you go to calendly.com/magneticpodium. Calendly is calendly.com/magneticpodium. And from there, you'll be able to book a free call with me and we can chat in further detail about you.
Excellent. I will be sure to put a link to both the call as well as the book and your homepage, Mary, so that they can definitely get in touch and get some help with their public speaking and getting their inner critic to shut up. So, Mary, you've been outstanding. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you for having me. It was lovely to speak with you.
Mary, thank you again for joining us and for sharing your time and expertise. Techie community, how is it that fear manifests for you? Think about it. And if you need help silencing your inner critic, be sure to reach out to Mary Sheen over at magneticpodium.com. Or you can always reach her through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Mary Sheen. Thank you again for joining us here for episode 71. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.